Blog Talk Radio.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our hearts all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Pro football is a mirror of early America, reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Oh! Oh! Good job! Good job!
That's what a mega play out there, buddy. Nice job.
Over Pirate 2, ready. 45, blast!
Yes, 23!
45, blast!
Keep them playing at this level now, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby!
The game is wide open, not confined. X's and O's on a blackboard are translated into imagination on the field. It can be one man rising above the obscurity of the grim, no-glory duty of special teams. It is a lineman clawing through the carnage at the scrimmage line and devouring the quarterback.
Round right, box two, run on set, ready?
The game is perpetual motion. A swirl of flying bodies in constant collision. A 2.5 hour carnival of color, sound, and action.
I got a little something for you.
There's glory in the legends of this hard muscle life, and there's poetry in each season made of sweat and strife. But now's the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
Come on, let's go.
Yeah, I'd like to have 75 degrees and sunny all the time too, but that's not football.
Do you fear the force of the wind, the slash of the rain?
We're going to play it through light and rain.
Go face them and fight them. Be savage again.
This doesn't light your firemen. The pilot lights out.
This football team is coming into our place. We're standing in our way.
This is a game of the heart. Focus and finish.
A time for achievement. A time for purpose. A time for glory.
Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. This week, is the college system broken amid the allegations out of Miami? Oklahoma University is preseason's number one. ESPN will share more about that. Cubs fire general manager Jim Hendry, though he wasn't their biggest problem. Larry Fitzgerald signs the 8-year extension with the Arizona Cardinals worth $120 million. Your NFL power rankings are out. See how your team did. All that, your calls and more on the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Welcome in. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. Your number to call in. A lot of things going on this crazy week in sports. We start off without any ado whatsoever on this college football system. Amid all the allegations going on in Miami, NCAA President Mark Emmert said that if recent allegations about Miami's program uncovered by Yahoo Sports are true, it just shows a need for serious and fundamental change in college sports. Your thoughts at 619-639-4747. Now, first of all, let me give you all some kudos. Last week on the show, over 3,000 people decided to hit us up post the show. I love the fact that you all, you know, whether you can't be here, it's Sunday, some of you all are at church, some of you all are doing the family thing, whatever you're doing, it's really, really cool. I appreciate you all hitting me up via Twitter, via Facebook, via email. For those of you that are, you know, taking it upon yourselves to listen right now, that number is 619-639-4747. This week in college football has absolutely been a whirlwind. You know, we usually don't really start talking about the college game till about a week or so before it, just because there's just a lot of hype and there's always the surprises with TCU's and Boise State's always in the top rankings. But with everything going on amid the allegations from this convicted felon who supposedly, you know, was trying to shine on the talents of other people and basically, for lack of a better word, fund these young men who, in large cases, never had this kind of money ever in their lives before. I mean, this is just a huge black eye, and as if we didn't already have enough. But I want to get you guys kind of up to speed on some of the comments that were made by some of the people in the know. Olin Buchanan's answer to my question about thoughts on this craziness says, so it took Yahoo Sports investigations for the NCAA to realize there's a need for change. That's simply sad. Had there been many other incidences over the past few years to show that there is a need for serious and fundamental change in college sports? How many programs currently are on probation or under NCAA scrutiny? Quite a few. Most everyone I talk to seem to be aware of a need for change even before Miami's story broke. Of course, we've heard calls for change before, and not much has changed. Tom Dinehart chimes in, it's not an overstatement to say that college football is in crisis. Something must be done to control the sport and dissuade schools from breaking the rules. David Fox's answer says the NCAA president is saying that we've known this for a long time. The system simply doesn't work. Fundamental change, if Emmert is serious, he should address two key issues. First, the self-policing model for NCAA rules is a farce. Former Miami athletic director Paul D sat in judgment of USC and others while all of this went on under his nose. That's one of the problems. And at individual schools, even well-intentioned compliance officers could be problems. And at individual schools, okay, that's actually written twice. If the NCAA wants to enforce its rules, this model certainly needs to change. Of course, that brings us to the other potential fundamental issue, the rules themselves. Even a full-ride scholarship is not a fair market value for players on most of the prominent college football teams. Not when TV deals are in the billions. It's tough to blame players for wanting a piece of the ever-expanding pie, even if a crooked booster is serving it up. Mike Huguenin simply says, Emmert has been on the job for a year, but frankly, he has done nothing of note in terms of making changes. You'd think the president of the NCAA would come aboard with definite changes, or at least a definite agenda. Steve, I don't even want to butcher his last name, McGargies. I'd like to think the need for a serious and fundamental change was apparent long before Miami's allegations were revealed. Just think back to the last year in college sports. The Heisman winner and quarterback of the national champion teams had a father who apparently had offered his son services to Mississippi State for $180,000. The National Basketball Championship team was on probation. One of the game's premier programs, USC, already is on probation, with another Ohio State ready to follow. The Ohio State case already resulted in earlier-than-expected departures of Buckeyes coach Jim Tressel and potential Heisman contender Terrell Pryor. Over the past 12 months or so, the 2004 BCS Championships, the 2005 Heisman presentation, and the 2009 ACC Football Championship have been vacated. And now we have one division, the ACC Coastal, that has half of its membership, Georgia Tech, Miami, and North Carolina, in hot water with the NCAA. I'm glad Emmert has acknowledged serious fundamental change is necessary. I hope he already realized that long before most of us had ever even heard of a Nevin Shapiro. Nevin Shapiro being, of course, the convicted felon. It is, what was it, 10 minutes into the show, so we're 10:10 on a gorgeous Sunday morning, the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports, 619-639-4747. We'll give you more in just, where are we going, Josh, where are we going? All right, cool. Back in a minute.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
I think we're in a computer game, man.
What makes you say that?
Well, I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yep, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Vinny Moore. I am your host of the Fast 60 Minutes of Sports. You know about the Cubs firing GM Jim Hendry this past week? That's for a guy who has been part of an organization for 17 years, nine of which he's been the general manager. Yeah, I got to give some love to Jim Hendry. I know we're about 4 minutes ahead of when we get into Major League Baseball, but that's okay. Let's give some love to the man because three league championships. You know, obviously at one point, five outs away from the World Series against the Marlins in 2003, had what would seemingly even be a better team in 2008 that basically laid an egg in the first round of the playoffs. I don't know if you want to put that on Dusty Baker, Lou Piniella, Jim Hendry, or the whole organization, but you know, when we get into some of the nuts and bolts of that in a little bit, I want to talk to you about who I think that problem really is, and I don't think it's Jim Hendry. I made no secret that Hendry winds up being the fall guy for a team that got out of the gate literally flat this year, but since the All-Star break has basically been 16 and 10, you know, actually I want to say 14-5 over the last 19 games. Actually, with the win yesterday, would be 15-5 over their last 20. So they're playing significantly better baseball. Again, they're actually creating separation for the Brewers, who have literally run away with the National League. In the meantime, one thing, I guess, you know, while I've got everybody kind of hanging on a hinge here while we're talking a little bit of baseball, let's get into some of these standings real quick and talk a little about, you know, who's doing what, who's going to go where, and what effect it may have on your team wherever you're at in the United States of America. So we drill ourselves down here. Don't you love technology? It's a beautiful thing. Of course, it's a beautiful thing when it works. Let's see. That's last night. All the stuff that went on with the Brewers and the Angels. That's all good and well. But our friends, our listeners, we simply want to get into the nuts and bolts of what's going on and where our teams are going. All right, let's start from the American League. Obviously, the American League East, as usual, dominated by both the Yankees and the Red Sox. Both teams are about a half game apart right now. And what I've always thought was amazing, the Tampa Bay Rays, even though they're 8 games out of contention right now, that program seems to be really, really just a really solid program built on great fundamentals, great development of players, great farm system. And unfortunately, most of the rest of the league does not have that going for them. So kudos to the Rays, even though you're third place. You're in probably the toughest division in baseball to really truly compete. But you've had some swan song years. Hopefully, you're only 8 games out, and stranger things have happened in baseball. So in the American League East, it is the Yankees at top by half game. Boston's a close second. In the Central, your Detroit Tigers get about the 12. Well, that can't be right. That's right. There we go. Detroit Lions, a 3.5 game lead over the Cleveland Indians right now. Sox are 5 games back. That's the Chicago White Sox. The Twins have fallen back to 12. Kansas City kind of pulling up the rear. But this is still up for grabs. Cleveland's played much better. A couple of additions at the trade deadline have helped them out. The White Sox have kind of basically stayed pat. They just kind of figured they'd hit their swag. And that's a team that can go on a run in a hurry and make up that 5 games. They can't seem to often get out of their own way. 1 minute they're 500, 1 minute they're under 500, next minute they're 500 again. Right now they're 1 game under at 62-63. So anyway, in the American League West, the Texas Rangers have opened up a 5-game lead over the Los Angeles Angels. That's really a 2-horse race between the two of them. And again, it's going to take Texas kind of shooting themselves in the foot to get there. But Texas is playing the White Sox right now. This should be some good baseball to watch for those of you in those two markets. On the National League side, the Philadelphia Phillies have a 7.5-game lead over the Atlanta Braves, and you know that is really just a division. Well, everyone else in that division is fighting for wild card spots because Philadelphia's kind of owned that really for quite some time. Again, you've got the best pitching in baseball, and that often bodes well for you. In the National League Central, the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, thanks all, in part to a resurgent Cubs program, have started to really pull away from the second-place Cardinals, who are now 8.5 games back. Cubs taking the last two from the Cardinals, and of course the Brewers winning the last two have just started to really open that up. The Reds have kind of fallen on some hard times, 61-65 now. They're 13.5 games back. The Pirates, you know, they were a great story for so much of this year. They're 6 games under 500, 14.5 games back. And again, you got to give kudos to the Brewers, 23 games over 500, just playing solid baseball, and they are dominating at home at 47-16 at home. They're playing in New York. They've got the Mets. You know, for those of you who didn't see the highlight yesterday, Angel Pagan's catch was just amazing. So if you get a chance, check online or check your check YouTube, find that catch. It's an amazing catch, almost Willie Mays-esque. Unfortunately, for those of us who've been Cub fans, the hottest team in baseball next to the Milwaukee Brewers has been the Chicago Cubs, but they were so far down. They're still 14 games under 500, 18.5 games out. They're 7-3 in the last 10 games, and they're beating up on the Cardinals, which is just creating this great separation for the Brewers. So, you know what? Kudos to the Cubs. And, again, we'll get into the Jim Hendry situation in a little bit. In the National League West, the Arizona Diamondbacks hold a 2.5-game lead over the current world champion San Francisco Giants. Again, 2.5 games, you know, looking further down that list. Colorado's 10.5 back. The Dodgers 11.5 back. San Diego's 12 games back. You know, Arizona is basically looking at just winning the division. The wild card is probably not going to come out of that National League West. So, for those of you baseball fans, something to think about. All right, let's take a look at this situation, this Jim Hendry situation. Chicago Cubs chairman Tom Ricketts made a token effort to revitalize his hapless franchise by firing GM Jim Hendry. Is that all there is? Now, I mean, I'll admit it. Hendry had his baggage. With 17 years in the organization, the last nine as GM, Hendry never did, you know, get those Cubs to the World Series, even though, again, in 2003, five outs away. There, however, is little reason to think that his successor, if that's, you know, Rick Hahn from the Sox, will have any more success, because whoever the new guy is going to be, he's going to have to deal with the same old problem that hangs over the Cubs, and that's the meddlesome president, and this is my guy, Crane Kenny, who I basically think is the problem. If Ricketts truly wants to provide a new life for his Cubs, he should have removed the organizational suffocation at the top. And the perfect man to put in charge probably would have been Pat Gillick, just weeks ago inducted into Baseball's Hall of Fame. The guy's available. Ricketts, however, never even talked to Gillick and to gauge any interest. Gillick might have at least, you know, entertained the notion of assuming some level of presidency, at least for the Cubs. Gillick, after all, is known for building winners in Toronto, Baltimore, Seattle, and guess where? Philadelphia. And he does it with a "we are in this together" mentality. And it shows his ability to adjust to situations by his reluctance to necessarily clean house when he realizes that, you know, that when he again, reluctance to clean house when he's taking on such a new job, first and foremost, he'd rather just remodel a franchise necessarily than rebuild it. As a man who simply, you know, thrives on certain challenges, the idea of succeeding where so many have failed, and taking the Cubs to World Championship for the first time since they won back in 1907-1908 would be exciting to someone like that. You've got to love Ricketts, though, saying that Kenny is absolved of all blame for all that transpires on the field because Kenny is confined to business matters. Yeah, business matters, like overruling Hendry on more than one occasion because, you know, he felt outside pressure to reel in high-priced veterans. Are we still forgiving are we forgiving Jim Hendry for the what was the guy's name? No, he's so far ago. The tool. Anyway, never mind. There was a... Yeah, name fails me. All right, you know, senior moment, brain spike. Anyway, the situation even with Zambrano's contract. Hendry had declared would not get more than 5 years guaranteed, only to have the Ricketts business sense to overrule them and provide an eight-year sentence to the organization. How'd that work out for you? Basically sandbag. The new GM is going to be just that, okay? He's going to be expected to quickly name Ryan Sandberg probably in place of Mike Quatty, which will obviously give him some support from our Cub diehards, even if it's more window dressing than anything else. So where's Rhino? Well, yeah, if you can do a search, certainly find out where he's at in the Phillies minor league system. Hendry. Anyway, Hendry's commitment to Quatty prompted Sandberg to leave the Cubs and become a AAA manager with the Phillies organization. It was just a point of irritation for most of us in the Windy City. But such is the love for baseball right now. Hendry's not your problem. And I guess I'm a little bit nerved to some degree to think that, you know, that this guy had to be the fall guy for the whole thing. That was just wrong, 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 and wrong again. Absolutely wrong.
You are spectacular.
619-639-4747. More coming at you in a minute.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
God, that's a great commercial. I love that commercial. 619-639-4747. You know, as we continue to build this thing, you know, it's amazing how people are going to just kind of jump on board. And what all of us are going to at some point start yelling.
Victory is mine.
Oh! I will not forget you for that one. That's good stuff. 39 left in the show. 39 left in the show. We're rocking and rolling. We've got your power rankings in the NFL. We've also got to talk about Larry Fitzgerald, our buddy in Arizona, a wide receiver. Well, he's joined the ranks, ladies and gentlemen. Arizona Cardinals and Larry Fitzgerald have agreed to an 8-year deal that could pay the star receiver as much as $120 million, making it one of the richest deals in the National Football League. Their agreement, which guarantees nearly $50 million, is by far the biggest in the franchise's history and could keep the star receiver with the team through the 2018 season. Let's run down some of these salaries of big, high-priced wideouts currently in the National Football League. Of course, Fitzgerald now will be at $15 million a year. Steve Smith out of Carolina gets $10.9 million. Brandon Marshall down in Miami gets $10 mil. Calvin Johnson in Detroit gets $9.7 million. Andre Johnson, who to this day to me is the best wide receiver in football out in Houston, gets $9.2 million. Now, let's compare this up to the big time, all, you know, the whole encompassing thing of all NFL. That includes your quarterbacks. Because right now, your two big guys, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, both sitting at about $18 million a year. Eli Manning sits at $16.3 million. Phillip Rivers in San Diego, $15.3 million. And there's our guy now, Larry Fitzgerald, at $15 million. Did you know the highest-priced defensive player in the National Football League is Richard Seymour in Oakland? He makes $15 million. I thought Nnamdi Asamoah was up there as well, but apparently his contract is tooled to where it's just stretched out. He's got a fat deal, but it winds up being stretched out. He's in the double digits in millions, though. Anyway, the $15 million average would tie him with Raiders Richard Seymour for the fifth-highest average among players. The top four players in all quarterback scores the top four players are all quarterbacks. We knew that. Fitzgerald and team president Michael Bidwell appeared at a hastily called news conference yesterday to announce this agreement. Of course, Larry, you know, not a big fan of media hype, you know, insisted he hates this part of sports, but certainly has made a boatload of money. This is the third major contract he signed, and he doesn't turn 28 until August the 31st. Growing up since I was 7 years old, this has been the game I loved and something I have been so passionate about, says Fitzgerald. And to have to talk about it on the business side is a little bit uncomfortable. But I'm really happy to put it behind us, and it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the Bidwell family, hardworking in making this thing happen. The Cardinals have said they wanted Fitzgerald's new contract wrapped up by the start of the regular season, and they made it with two weeks to spare. Bidwell, son of the team owner Bill Bidwell, said the Cardinals' intent is to have Fitzgerald retire as a Cardinal, but obviously not anytime soon. Fitzgerald, the third overall I think that's obviously – guys, that's a typo. It's not an overall park. It's an overall pick in the 2004 draft at the age of 19. Spoke of the opportunity to spend his entire career with one team. It is an honor, he said. I'm so fortunate. Not many players have that opportunity. But Michael has allowed me that opportunity, and I just want to repay him with great effort and winning. That is what is important. At 6'3", 218 pounds, the receiver has become the franchise's career leader in receptions with 613 and needs just 294 to surpass Roy Green for career yards in receiving. In Arizona's surprise run to the Super Bowl in 2008, Fitzgerald shattered most NFL playoff receiving records. Fitzgerald has topped 1,000 yards receiving in five of his seven NFL seasons, including the last four. Caught 90 passes for 1,137 yards last season, even though Arizona had one of the worst offenses in the league while struggling to a 5-11 record, in large part because of a poor quarterback play in the wake of the retirement of his buddy, Kurt Warner. So while Fitzgerald has never insisted the team make big moves for quarterback, I'm not anyone to hold a hammer to anyone's overhead. The Cardinals traded for Kevin Cobb from the Philadelphia Eagles, then signed him to a five-year, $63 million contract with a $21 million guaranteed piece. Fitzgerald, who organized team workouts during the lockout, had practiced season with Cobb long before the trade. It'll be fun to watch the football out of Arizona this year. Just going to be a lot of fun. All right, where are my NFL junkies at? Because I think it's time. Now, I know we're up against the clock here. It's 35 left in the show. And more importantly, we've got 32 teams in power rankings to get through. I don't want to have to rush this. I'd really like to cruise through this thing. But I know my NFL flunkies and my fantasy nuts out there really want to know where their team fits in the great power rankings, even before the first ball is snapped. Most of us have watched preseason games. We've kind of got some ideas on who's ready to play. If you haven't watched the Patriots play, that's just going to be scary because they look like they're in midseason form already. The Colts have done what they always do, shut Peyton Manning down because he is, you know, he's fragile. Let me retract that. That's not fair. Peyton's not fragile, okay? You just want Peyton to go 16 games. You don't want something stupid to happen. You don't want some, you know, second stringer or some guy coming off the edge, you know, getting a free run on a Peyton Manning, and all of a sudden the Colts are 4-whatever because they don't have their star quarterback. Of course, again, if you recall back when Brady was playing and he got the little helmet to the knee and Matt Castle became a star in a season where they went 11-5, well, I don't think and I couldn't even tell you who the name of the Colts' current backup is, but I venture to say they're probably not going to have that kind of depth at quarterback like the Patriots are. By the way, if you have not seen the Patriots play in this preseason, I know they've got two games left, you might want to at least watch the first stringers play, because that makes no sense. And you add Ocho Cinco to that mix, and that team is really, really potent. All other teams that look really, really good right now look like they're ready to start the season. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Did you see what they did to the Eagles? Vince Young called them the dream team. Like that looked like a nightmare. Okay, Vic had three picks. They looked completely in disarray. Not a good night for our buddies from Philadelphia. Pittsburgh looks like they're in rare form. And we just don't really know what we're going to get everyone else. You know, the Lions should be better. They should be a lot of fun to watch. They're going to put up some points, providing they can keep Matthew Stafford healthy. We don't know if the Bears' offense is going to show up, but we know that Bears' defense is going to be as good as advertised. At Green Bay, the reigning Super Bowl champions, again, if they can stay healthy, if JerMichael Finley can be healthy, awfully, awfully good. So we are going to get into these power rankings right after we hear from our friends in the whatever. What are you doing? Marketing? I cannot believe we've got to run commercials now. This is amazing. All right. Got to love it, though. Back in a minute.
I think we're in a computer game, man. What makes you say that? I don't know. The bartender speaks nothing but gibberish. And we've been drinking these same beers all night, and they're still full.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Build your dream bar at ESPNSportsBar.com.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
Hey, guys, I want to start with 13Z, Devery Henderson, Chris Ivory, Green Right Nasty, ZPL Fake Slash 37, Buster Bluff, Naked Right, X Post, Y Bite. That'll be the first call.
Got to go higher and higher. The effort, the physical play, the execution. Just keep coming, and we'll find a way to win. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there.
Atlanta clinches their third consecutive winning season.
Four more games. Four game winning streak. That's all we have to do.
The Eagles have pulled off the most remarkable win I have ever seen. Eric Berry, the biggest defensive play of the year for Kansas City.
It is now a one game season. December is our month. It is time to go to work.
Across the 40, midfield. 45, he's on the runway. 40, holding the man, 35, look at him go. Touchdown.
Packers to the championship, 48-21 over the Falcons.
That's how we do it. We pick each other up. We play football like we're Steelers, like we are a team.
Touchdown! What a catch by Santonio Holmes! And the Jets answer right back.
The Bears have won, and it sets up a colossal renewal of the oldest and best rivalry in the NFL.
We got a game with immortality.
Gotta love it. You gotta love it. You gotta love it when it all kind of just comes together like that. 2010 season, the entire season encapsulated in 6 minutes. Nice job, fellas. Nicely done. But that was 2010. We are at 2011. Your power rankings are out. We'll get to it. For those of you looking for your college football fix, we have not forgotten you. We realize we said OU, preseason number one. We're going to give you all that too. But right now, it is NFL power ranking time. So we break it down from 32 to 1. 32 this year is, you might have already imagined, the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton has a long way to go before he's ready to play, but a strong running game will help him settle down. The Panthers could potentially lose defensive end Charles Johnson in free agency, which would be detrimental on their improvement on the defense. Number 31, the Cincinnati Bengals this year. Did a decent job of drafting for value, but they still are lacking enough talent at several positions. And with owner Mike Brown refusing to deal quarterback Carson Palmer during the draft, his future is very much still up in the air. The league sources believe he won't deal him no matter how ugly that situation gets. Number 30, the Cleveland Browns. They were aggressive during the draft and it should pay off over time. The first three draftees should challenge for a starting job this season, but with the change from a 3-4 to a 4-3 defensive scheme, the Browns will lack enough quality on that side of the ball to be very competitive this season. Number 29, it's not often that you could say that the Cardinals drafted well, but that's just what happened last weekend. They didn't reach for any players, and four rookies could start this season. What the Cardinals need to still solve their problems, obviously, is a quarterback. Number 28, the Broncos addressed several needs during the draft, but many still remain. Just like the Browns, they're transitioning from to a 4-3, and a plan to use free agency to fill most of their position needs on that side of the ball. Like the Cardinals, the Broncos have to get some clarity at quarterback. Yeah, Tebow or Orton. Number 27, so... What can you say about the Buffalo Bills? But you know, they actually drafted very well as, in terms of value, and as many of these selections should contribute significantly to the season. Their decision to not reach for a quarterback isn't such a bad. You've got, you know, obviously Fitzpatrick. They can have Ryan start for the next two seasons. Then they'll have to decide on the future of that position. But the Buffalo's not doing anything spectacular. They've got some nice position players, but nothing to write home about. Number 26, the Redskins addressed several needs in the draft, but many still remain. The future quarterback position is still unsolved. Have you seen Rex Grossman play recently? The mystery may be solved in free agency whenever the Redskins can get around to actually looking and being smart. And you know, I feel bad for Redskin fans because if you're pining your hopes to Beck or to Rex Grossman, man, it's going to be a long season. Number 25, the Minnesota Vikings. For whatever reason, the Vikings waited until the sixth round to address their weakness on the offensive line. But I guess they're feeling pretty good with a veteran quarterback in Donovan McNabb. So, yeah, number 25 for the Vikings. Number 24, the Tennessee Titans. Well, you can clearly see how having the draft before free agency affected the team. Titans felt they had to have a quarterback out of this draft and would it be a long-term guy. However, Jake Locker's accuracy issues have driven him further down, so it'll be interesting to see how this all plays itself out. Jeff Fisher's a great quarterback. He's going to take a whole lot of one-on-ones and some serious philosophical pushing to get that where it needs to be. Number 23, your Seattle Seahawks, home of the 12th man. Sure, the Seahawks addressed many needs in the draft, but many still remain. You got quarterback issues in Seattle. When he falls and goes that, I think that's going to. The Miami. Piece in their offensive line with the addition of Mike Pouncey. You've got Reggie Bush there in the backfield. Yeah, I watched a little bit of Miami's game last night. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch them. I don't think they're going to go anywhere. It'd be good to be 7-9 this year. Just not a lot of depth on defense. You know, we'll have to. It'll be fun to watch them though. Number 21, the Jacksonville Jaguars, like many teams, decided not to wait to address some of their positional needs. Got two very underrated players in Cecil Shorts and Will Rackley. Both could push for starting jobs in the second season, but the Jaguars didn't address the biggest need, which is a defensive end. Because of that, it's hard to really see them being much better than they were last year. I mean, at some points they looked like they were world beaters. Other points they looked like they were just completely disinterested. Number 20, the 49ers. Added a few pieces of the puzzle with the addition of Colin Kaepernick and defensive end Aldon Smith, but three of the four needs still remain. Is Alex Smith going to be the guy to make that successful conversion? We'll see. We'll see. Now, again, you've got Harbaugh there in San Francisco land. You've got a tremendous upside. Harbaugh's a great coach. There's no questioning that. Can he get Vernon Davis and all that talent on offense to gel? Someone's got to dish that ball. Number 19, the Raiders. You got to like the players the Raiders selected in the draft, especially when they didn't own a first-round pick. But what didn't get settled was a quarterback. Jason Campbell has done nothing to show you that he's the guy. Now, keep in mind, if Jason Campbell can just get into a system where the system doesn't change every single year, he might actually be a really, really good quarterback. In the second half of the season, they were pretty good last year. Number 18, the sexy pick for the National League and NFC North, the Detroit Lions. I've now put together solid back-to-back drafts. Let's talk Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley. While fans didn't think the selection of defensive tackle Nick Fairley made a lot of sense, he's not only a special talent, but next to Sue, of course, he's hurt right now, so next to Sue probably isn't going to happen. But if he gets healthy, gets next to Sue, that defensive tackle position could be awfully special. I'll tell you what, when you're the one thing the Lions do have going for them, obviously you've got Matthew Stafford, you've got Calvin Johnson. Mikel LeSure is now hurt. He's out for the year, so that's a big blow. Fairley, of course, is trying to get himself back together about four or five games into the season. So, but the Lions have some nemesis that they may be able to expel to some degree this year. In Detroit, they play like world beaters. They really, really do. They easily upset my Bears. They could easily upset your Packers at home. I think they're going to struggle on the road. Stafford does not handle contact very, very well. The O-line is still a question, and until they resolve that issue, that's probably why they're going to be falling at ranking of number 18. However, By the way, if you can name me the top two cornerbacks in the Detroit Lions and you don't live in Detroit, you're good because they got cornerback issues there as well. Number 17, the St. Louis Rams. The Rams have the ability to make a big, big-time jump this year under third-year coach Steve Spagnuolo. Just an aggressive young man. The remaining needs are at defensive tackle and at running back. Again, there's no depth behind Steven Jackson. The teams, though, should be good enough to contend for that NFC West title because look who they're playing and look what they're up against. A lot of opportunity out there for the Rams. They could easily win that division. I mean, they were literally a win away from winning division with, an 8-8 record last year? That's scary. Number 16, the Dallas Cowboys. Well, here they come again. Despite filling big needs on the offensive line, the Cowboys have failed to address their big problems in the secondary during the draft. For this team to seriously contend for the NFC East, they must add more talent in the secondary. Let me ask you a question for those of you out here listening. 619-639-4747, let me ask a question. Who's going to be the top running back? Is it going to be Felix Jones? Is there a Tashard Choice sighting anywhere in the future of the Dallas Cowboys? Is Romo just going to have to wing it all over the field and hope that there's someone there? I mean, no Sam Hurd anymore. Well, they still got a Miles Austin to play with. That's always a good thing to have. But, you know, how many balls is Miles going to catch this year? 80, 90? He may have to catch over 100 for them to be truly competitive. In a division in the NFC East, it's going to be very, very difficult with the Eagles stocked up with all that talent. All right, number 15, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Buccaneers drafted well for value, but defensive ends Adrian Claiborne and Daquan Bowers dropped for a season. Those two players will play a big role for the future of this defense. If they are fine medically, the Buccaneers will have two star defensive players. If not, they'll be drafting help for the defensive line down the road again. Josh Freeman is a great young quarterback. They've got some things going on in Tampa Bay. It is a fun team to watch. They have not looked good this year in preseason so far. They do not look like everyone's on the same page. But, you know, funny things happen. The Bears were 0-4 and wound up going to the NFC Championship game last year. So, you know, maybe there's some things they're just kind of holding back on. Number 14, the Houston Texans. General manager Rick Smith finally is getting it right. He addressed this defensive need with his first five selections. And if those players perform well, under the new coordinator, Wade Phillips, the Texans should actually earn a playoff spot for the first time in their history. If you haven't watched the Texans play, I got a chance to watch some of their game last night. That's a fun team to watch. They fly around the field. They're aggressive. Wade's brought an aggressive attacking defense. It's the same thing he had built in Dallas before being elevated to coach and having that thing fall out of bed there. But Wade's a great defensive coordinator, and the players will run through brick walls for him. So it'll be fun to watch to see how the Texans come out of this thing this year. Again, can they contend against the Indianapolis Colts? That'll be the question. I know a lot of Colts fans out there that don't want to hear that, but look over your shoulder. Here come them Texans. Number 13, and this one surprised me, y'all. The Kansas City Chiefs. Awkward moment. Dead of silence. The Kansas City Chiefs. General manager Scott Pioli did a nice job of addressing his needs during the draft. The first three players that they drafted could start. The one area which still needs to be addressed is at right tackle. The big concern, though, is the loss of offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss. Who's going to design whatever offense you're going to run? Now, again, I do not know who that offensive coordinator is currently. All I know is this. I watched the Chiefs play recently in preseason. They're not ready. They're not ready. But, again, their defense with Eric Berry will be exciting to watch. They're going to fly over the field. They're going to make some things happen. They're going to get some turnovers. And that may be they may look a little bit like the Chicago Bears a little south because it's going to be their defense that's going to have to help. Now, you've got a good quarterback in Matt Cassel. You've got a great wide receiver in Dwayne Bowe. But two men do not make an offense. You need an O-line, and you need some help there at right tackle. Number 12, the Chargers, the San Diego Chargers. They've addressed several position needs in the most recent draft. What's left is depth on both sides of the ball. If their special team unit can improve significantly, and they're going to have to because they couldn't stop anything last year, they should be back to the top of the AFC West again. However, you are looking at a Kansas City Chiefs team that is improving. You're looking at, of course, a Chargers team. I'm looking at the division as a whole now. San Diego's going to be good. The Raiders may surprise everyone. If they can get out of the gate relatively quickly, they could make some noise as well. Number 11, the New York Giants. General manager Jerry Reese continued to draft the best player available at the position of need. That's why he's so good at what he does. If they don't suffer the kind of injuries they did in the past two seasons, the Giants could be back in the playoffs in 2011. Well, yes and no. I guess the real ultimate question there is whether or not you believe that the Eagles are all that in a bag of chips. If you do, then it's not going to matter what the Giants do. They can stay healthy. They've got a long-in-the-tooth offensive line, a quarterback who's prone to throw a ton of picks, I think the Giants are a little overrated here. Just a personal opinion. I've looked at the numbers and I see what the numbers are trying to bear out, but I just have a hard time seeing that. Mario Manningham, you know that their Steve Smith is gone now. If that defense can do anything with OC now being in camp and getting back in the fold, if that defense can be as ferocious as they were one fateful night last year against the Bears and they sacked Cutler and then anybody they put back there, you know, 9-10 times, then they may at least be able to keep the games competitive. But I just can't see the Giants going to the playoffs in that division. I'd more apt to see, of course, the Eagles dominate that. I really don't even think the wild card team is going to come out of that division, but that's just one prognosticator's opinion. Number 10, the Chicago Bears. Oh, let me say it right. My Chicago Bears. The Bears addressed their needs in their first three selections. It wouldn't be surprised at all to see all three players start the season. It's going to be interesting to see if offensive tackle Gabe Creamy can make the big impact as a rookie, and it looks like he is doing just that. It is a major league upgrade to the offensive line having Gabe Creamy play right tackle. Of course, this means that Jamarcus Webb is playing left tackle, and that that could be interesting. Now, the move of Roberto Garza from right guard to center, well, game one of the preseason didn't go so well. That was against the Buffalo Bills, and that's not the kind of defense that you necessarily concern yourself with as being a big-time defense or highly ranked defense. Ask Sean Merriman what it was like to just kind of run over people in that game because, you know, Cutler was on his back one time, scrambling around, running for 10 yards for a down. It wasn't like he was really comfortable in that pocket just yet. Now, they've got a couple of weeks to work it out. As we saw last year dealing with the Bears, they started off looking really kind of hapless. You know, they had the disaster against the Giants, the disaster against the Redskins, and lo and behold, you know, they wake up, and all of a sudden, despite the holes in the offensive line, after they get their little bye week, they suddenly become this team that's learned how to run the ball, control the clock, and the next thing you know, they're right where they need to be. So, hey. Yeah, Mike Mars, give him credit. Mike Tice, the offensive line coach, got to give him much love for putting together what he did, getting the most out of guys like Frank Omiyale last year to get that O-line as far as they did to the NFC Championship, and literally within a stone's throw of a chance to go to the Super Bowl. And I'll tell you, this was just my opinion last year. I know I'm a homer. You know I'm a homer, and that's okay. But had the Bears been fortunate enough to beat Green Bay in that NFC Championship game, I contend to you that Bears defense would have beaten the Steelers in that Super Bowl. But that's just me. I'm a homer. I humbly admit to it. Number 9 on the hit list this year in power rankings, the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles addressed two problems with their first two selections, but cornerback still remains a big-time issue. I look for them to be fairly aggressive in filling the needs. Obviously, they got Nnamdi. They've got Asante. They've got Cromartie. The issue is Cromartie is a great athlete, not necessarily a great cornerback. He makes great plays based on his athleticism. He may be the odd man out of that cornerback rotation. If that's the case and you need a cornerback, see the Chicago Bears, you might be having a conversation with our buddies in Philadelphia because the team is really, really – on paper, they should be incredibly talented and incredibly stocked. However, as we all know, the game is not played on paper. It is played on the field. Number 8, the New England Patriots, already in season form. If you haven't watched these guys play in the preseason, you are missing a special sight. Now, mind you, the starters are only going to play, you know, the first half in game 3, but they just look like the absolute machine once again. A couple of things they didn't do this year. They didn't address their pass rushing needs, so they're going to give up some points. Again, they're not really deep on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, when you're pining your hopes to a Rob Ninkovich to be your linebacker or the kind of the leader of your linebacking core, yeah, it doesn't really endear itself to you as, you know, the fearful defense. However, they'll play fundamentally sound as they always do. And as long as you've got Tom Brady at quarterback and Green Ellis running the ball, you're going to be fine. The addition of Chad Ochocinco is huge. He got his first touchdown catch in the preseason, so Patriots look like they're in midseason form. And you know, if I'm Randy Moss, I'm just kind of wondering, you know, who I need to talk to just get my name back on the roster, even if I don't see the field. Anyway, number 7, the Indianapolis Colts. For my friends in Indiana, well, there you go. Here are your Colts taking up the number 7 spot. But taking a cue from the Jets, the Colts drafted wisely with a few selections that they had. They addressed a major need on the offensive line. Again, you got to keep Peyton Manning upright. The area which still needs to be addressed is the secondary. If Kelvin Hayden does indeed bowl, I know he was talking to trying to get with the Bears. I don't know if that actually happened or not. I'll have to follow up on that. But if they've got some issues in the corner, which, again, is going to mean Peyton's going to have to throw 40 to 50 times a game. He's going to have to basically do it himself. Now, you need a running game. You need a solid running game. When Joseph Addai was the man, he was healthy. He spelled those opportunities where Peyton had to throw the ball 40, 50 times. You don't have that right now. And that's not an indictment of Addai, but the scheme does not seem to be really wrapped around a balanced attack in Indianapolis. It just is not. It is wrapped around Peyton Manning and his arm and him keeping upright and him finding the Austin Collies and, you know, and Dallas Clarks, if he's healthy again, and Pierre Garçons and Reggie Waynes. And that's how they're going to go. And, again, you take Peyton Manning off that squad, you don't have a 12-4 team. That is the only program, the only squad, where if that quarterback goes down, you can Katie Barr the season. It is over. You'll be lucky to win 4 or 5 football games. And that is not an indictment of the Mathises and the Freenies coming off the edge. They're going to be solid. But you have no real help in the interior, and you have really little help in the corners. So, got some work to do there in Indianapolis. Number 6, the Ravens. Well, what can I tell you? They finally addressed a big problem at wide receiver by drafting 2 in the first 4 rounds. If Torrey Smith pans out, the Ravens' offense could be at the top. Flacco's going to have some things to throw to this year. All right? He's got a running game with Rice. He's got a defense. If Ray-Ray is Ray-Ray, Suggs is Suggs, that team could be really, 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 really special. And, you know, they haven't really been a bad team since their big Super Bowl push in 2000 when they won it all. They just seem to shoot themselves in the foot, whether it's, you know, a Flacco error or a Rice fumble or a Jamal Lewis back when he was there for a cup of coffee. Whoever it might be, they seem to shoot themselves in the foot. They're not really getting beat. You know, and you got an Ed Reed back there and a Ray Lewis back there. You're not really getting, you know, beat up. You're losing games, you know, 17-14. And usually one of the opposing team's touchdown was a pick six by Flacco or someone. So, you know, he's got to stop serving up some interceptions. He's got to stop making some mistakes. And certainly they've got to control the ball. They stop turnovers. The Ravens could be really, really special this year. Of course, you know, in that same conference, number 5 this year is the New York Jets. Again, the team that always simply says it's Super Bowl or bust. There's no doubt that the Jets have one goal in mind, and that is to get the Super Bowl. There's no doubt in anyone's mind that they've got the talent to do so. They've got the head coach and Rex Ryan, who's got a system together. For whatever reason, though, their defensive failures in the big games, they've just always come back to get them. As always seems to be the case with the Jets, it's not how many draft picks they have. It's about, you know, what they wind up doing with those draft picks. The Jets addressed some of their big needs on the defensive line, but did not address their secondary. That area figures to be addressed maybe later on. The Jets are still clearly the favorite AFC East at this point. We'll take a look at that AFC East. Can you honestly say in the AFC East with the New England Patriots, the Jets are favorite? I'm going to tell you right now, no, they're not. Okay? New England is going to win that division. The Jets are probably going to be the wild card team. However, a Jets wild card team is a dangerous wild card team. The Jets can beat the Patriots. And as we all know, Tom Brady can beat the world. So, you know, that's going to be some fun football to watch as we get further and further into that season. Number 4, the Steelers. It seems like the Packers draft for value. Still have a few issues on the right side of the offensive line, and these concerns are not locks by any means to be satisfied, even through what's been a crazy free agency period. There's no reason to believe the Steelers won't be one of the top teams in the NFL again. But again, you've got Big Ben, you've got Rashard Mendenhall, you've got Mike Wallace, you've got some talent. Obviously, Hines is back. That defense with James Harrison is going to be as vicious as always. Troy Polamalu is going to be Troy Polamalu, but you do have some cornerback issues. You do. And then when you have cornerback issues, there's always that propensity to give up big plays, and you're asking your free safety and your strong safety to make those additional plays, and at some point you're going to get duped, and there it is. And before you know it, you look up and you're 9-7, 10-6 on the outside looking in. I think the Steelers do make the playoffs. I think it's just going to be a little bit harder than is advertised. Number 3, the Atlanta Falcons. I thoroughly disagree with this ranking, but it is what it is. Tom Dimitroff has believed that he can build a team through the draft and through free agency, and because he's willing to be so aggressive, he's made the big move in the first round, selecting Julio Jones. Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. Jones has been great in the preseason. He's been great in practice. And again, you've got a running game with Turner. So Let's see what happens. I have just not sold that they're going to be able to stop teams like they seem to think they can. Name me the corners on the Falcons, because they're week one, they got to come to Chicago in a little brisk cold to Soldier Field that went off the lake, and they've got to come in here, and that offense has got to run against that top-level defense. That's going to be fun. I don't believe that's a blowout, and actually I have the Bears winning. Of course, I'm a Bears homer, so, but everyone I've even talked to outside the state of Illinois has the Bears winning that game. So, we'll see how it all plays itself. Number two, the New Orleans Saints back near the top once again. Again, this may have been addition by subtraction, moving Reggie Bush, drafting your running back out of Alabama, Mark Ingram. They want to smash mouth the game a little bit. They want to run through the tackles, and Reggie was never going to be that guy. The last guy they had to do that was Deuce McAllister, and now they've got it again with Ingram. Ingram looks strong. He looks healthy. He looks focused. Again, what's going to go on with Pierre Thomas in that role, whether he's going to be the one of the two, or are they going to just do the tandem thing? We'll have to wait and see. But you know, Breeze has got a ton of weapons to play with Colston, with Devery Henderson. You know, the question will be on defense. Can they get back to that 2009 form when they were able to go all the way to the Super Bowl? We'll wait and see. And, of course, this year's number one, the Green Bay Packers. Again, I there's nothing else I can say about them. It pains me as a Bear fan to tell you that Green Bay is the business, but it is what it is. And there's nothing else I can say or honestly, you know, do about it. Green Bay is that good on paper. They proved it last year, even through all the injuries last year, that the system works. It works well. Aaron Rodgers, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet in football. He's the kind of guy that you'd want your daughter to bring home. And the bottom line is they're just really, really solid. JerMichael Finley's back. Donald Driver's back. It just is what it is. All right. So there's your power rankings. There's your top power rankings. And I'm not sure what that was, but that was in my ear. Okay. Anyway, it is what it is. Green Bay is number one right now. Obviously, these things can change. Injuries will play a big part in how this all plays itself out. Now, I promised my college nutheads, and that's why I kind of sped up a little bit, so I give you a couple of minutes of football love. We have roughly 2 minutes, 30 seconds to talk about Oklahoma being preseason number one. I do want to be honorable to that. Let's face it. Being voted preseason number one is a tradition in Oklahoma, and this season is no different. The Sooners will start out top-ranked in this AP college poll for the 10th time, more than any other program in the country. Defending Big 12 champions received 36 of 60 first-place votes and 1,464 points in the top 25 released this Saturday. Auburn, last season's national champion, will start this season number 23. Gee, wonder why. Let's go down to top five. Number two this year, preseason, Alabama, one of the record eight Southeastern Conference teams in the preseason poll, wasn't far behind. Are you receiving 17 first-place votes? Number three, Oregon, got four first-place votes. Number four, LSU, received one first-place vote. Number five is Boise State. Well, let's keep going. Number six was Florida State this year. This is the Seminoles' best preseason ranking since, 2004? At number five, has Heisman Trophy favorite Andrew Luck in the Stanford Cardinals. It doesn't seem right. Hang on a second. Number six is Florida. Number seven is Stanford. There we go. Rounding out the top ten are Texas A&M, Oklahoma State, and Nebraska. Nebraska being the highest-ranked Big Ten squad now. Number 16 is Notre Dame. How about that? Wow. That's kind of exciting. I wonder what Brian Kelly's got going on in South Bend. I almost said West Bend and South Bend. Either way it goes, it's going to be a fun season for college football. I don't know where you stand on this whole thing for college football, but as is always the case on the fastest, we will keep you abreast of everything that goes on with college football as the season gets into its nuts and bolts and it starts to really ramp up. There are so many tough games for so many big-time programs early in the season that mean so much. You know, Boise State's got a date with Georgia early in the season. I think it's Georgia Tech early in the season. If they're able to take care of business in that game, there is no one else on that schedule, and that could be the whole wrench in the argument for the BCS this year. So do not be surprised in the least if Boise's back, you know, offending folks and wrecking the house again in terms of the BCS argument. Most prognosticators have Oklahoma and Alabama getting all the way to the national title game. Someone forgot to tell Oregon, forgot to tell LSU that, you know, you guys might have a voice in that as well. If anyone obviously falters, the whole thing gets thrown out of whack. And I contend to you, if Boise State takes care of business, they could easily rise to that number two spot And it would not surprise me that you see an Oklahoma-Boise State national title game. And for what it's worth, for college football, with everything going on, that'd be a beautiful thing. And again, we all know about the allegations and the mess that is going on out of Miami. It's just an absolute disaster. And the NCAA does need to revamp itself. The system is broken. I know a lot of guys don't want to believe that. Urban Meyer got really, really heated the other day when I told him simply, you know, is the system broken? He got livid. Then he went on our friends over at ESPN, Mike and Mike in the Morning, and they asked him the same question. He got even more heated. You know, Jimmy Johnson went off. Michael Irvin went off. I mean, look, you've all had history there, and you know, or in Florida. It's a shame that we've gotten to where we've gotten to. But until there is serious enough penalty to be a true deterrent, it is not going to stop. All right. Are we done? I think we're almost done. We're basically done. We are done. We are done. No, we're not done? Okay. Well, you know what? We're still on the air. We're still streaming, so I know the podcast is still going. Look, here's how this rolls. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. You've been listening to the fastest 60 minutes in sports. Keep this number, 619-639-4747. If you didn't call me today, call me next week. We'll see you soon. Much love from the fastest 60 minutes in sports.